Elizabeth Baran Bouladian believes that our mothers live in our hearts whether they are dead or alive. She wrote a book of poetry entitled Pages from the Heart. It is a poignant journal of love and war. Unintendingly, the mother emerges as the heroine here. Who cares for her family in the war and in peacetime? As expressed in the poems The Red Sweater and The Book and the Sewing Machine. The mother whose character forms a pattern for her daughter's own life. Sadly, the daughter, as a refugee of war, must finally face the cold horror of separation from her beloved mother, as expressed in Night Sky Flyer. In Pages from the Heart, Bouladian opens her life and her heart through a group of narrative poems that read like autobiographical short stories, compressed into poetic form. In them, the innocence of life, as seen through a child's eyes, expressed in A Conversation with My Mother, Parts 1 and 2, and The First Christmas at School. This is juxtaposed against the pain and complexity of a war-scarred journey into adulthood. Through pain, guilt, and uneasy humor, as expressed in the poems Labels and A Night in the Bomb Shelter, the author allows us glimpses into life in turmoil. The cruelty of war and of men is unbearable, leading to depression, spiritual death, and loss of fate that lasts for decades, as expressed in the poems Eternal Poison and The Sahara of the Soul. Love and the human spirit do triumph through all of the pain. This is expressed in the poem The Color of the Tide, and Let It Take Its Course, and Honey's Honey. These show a gradual reawakening of the heart that leads to marital love and to a renewed faith in Christ, as expressed in the poem Disappointments. These poems grow with each reading. Pages from the Heart is a book to be kept and read many times over. You can get a copy of Pages from the Heart by writing a message using Facebook Messenger or the WhatsApp application. Look for Elizabeth Baran Bouladian with a photo of the book on her side. Call or text cell phone number 313-727-3095. That's Elizabeth Baran Bouladian's Pages from the Heart. From the century-old St. John's Lutheran Church of Taylor, Michigan, comes the coast-to-coast edition of Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. The message from God's Word is prepared and delivered by Reverend Dr. Richard Ziley, and this local broadcast is made possible by the generosity of hearers like you. You may like us on Facebook, Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. May God bless your listening.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
I love your law.
It is my meditation all the day.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies.
For it is ever with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For your testimonies are my meditation.
I understand more than the aged.
For I keep your precepts.
I hold back my feet from every evil way.
In order to keep your word.
I do not turn aside from your just decrees.
For you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste.
Sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Through your precepts I get understanding.
Therefore I hate every false way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For your testimonies are my meditation.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is taken from the epistle for this day. I call your attention to the words of our text, Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. St. Paul writes, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." St. Paul in our text today touches on the relationship between truth and love. This is a matter misunderstood in our culture today. Take the notion of love. I love my country, and I love my coffee. These are different kinds of love, if you think about it. My coffee pleases me, and I enjoy it, and I have a desire for it. But that's not my relationship with my country. For I recognize that my country gave me a home, a context, that it is greater than I. I am to serve my country, even at the cost of my life, should duty call. Many of you recognize that many St. John's members have served in the military over the years and are active in veteran support organizations. And the pandemic reminds us that many in various other jobs risk their lives to a greater or lesser extent to perform services needed by our fellow citizens. My love for my country is a love for something greater than myself, where, on the other hand, my love for coffee is my desire for a pleasure. Marriage and the sex act itself are a commitment of service to the other. When someone tells you they love you, consider whether they love you like coffee or like a patriot loves the country, ready to serve, even to die for her. In a similar way, our culture is confused about the relationship of love and truth. You hear about people speaking their own truth, especially in value judgments of others' actions. Allow me to share with you my experience with my personal truth. Once when I was about 10, my mother got dressed up for a garden party and bought a new hat. It made her look different to me in a way that I was not comfortable with. "How do you like my new hat?" my mother asked. "I think it's ugly," I said. She looked hurt and maybe shed a tear. and sent me into another room. Well, I had to tell the truth, I told myself. I couldn't lie to my mother. So we went to the party, and I noticed that person after person came up to my mother and said how nice she looked in that hat. And it dawned on me that maybe my perception was not shared by others. Maybe, in fact, I had thought wrong, and that the truth had eluded me. And it took me about a week to think this through. I began to realize that the truth is greater than any one of us. In our text today, St. Paul speaks of truth as the means by which we grow as Christians. The unity of faith and knowledge of Christ are contrasted with every wind of doctrine, human cunning, and deceit. Jesus said in another place, "Know the truth, for the truth will make you free," which is what Paul in our text is getting at when he writes of mature manhood, the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. So note the two errors we are to avoid. The first is to try to love apart from truth. Too many people imagine that love means concealing hard truths from their loved ones, their children, their spouse, their friends. There is a gray area between offering words of support and enabling untruth. A father I know was told by his son, who was deployed in a combat zone, that the son wasn't seeing any combat, and then that son returned home wounded. Their relationship was strained, almost destroyed. Decades ago, a woman from a Christian family asked me about marrying a man of another faith. I told her not to, that it was a sin to deliberately yoke with non-believers, as St. Paul tells the Corinthians. Years later, she told me that she wished her family had told her that. Though she shoulders on in that marriage. And we, even in the church, we are tempted to make excuses, lying to avoid saying no to invitations or appeals for help. But as Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this is from the evil one." The other error we are to avoid is that of lovelessness. It is one thing to avoid unpleasant truths out of consideration for others' feelings, but it is even worse to speak hurtful things without compassion, tact, or sympathy. When my 10-year-old self spoke what I thought to be my truth to my mother, I was totally without consideration for her feelings, without respect for her judgment. Even if I had been right about the hat, my manner of speaking was that of an immature, self-centered child. When my sanctification is complete, and God is finished with me, that child will be gone. But until my sinful flesh is laid to rest, I must still discipline that child within, with the aid of God's Holy Spirit, so that I may obtain maturity in Christ, so as to speak the truth in love. Now, God's Word is the source of that truth. And the heart of that truth is Jesus. His sacrificial love for us, which restores us to the Father who gave us life in the first place. Jesus promised the Spirit of truth no less than 4 times in John chapters 14 to 17, even praying for us, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." The Spirit of truth works through God's Word. His message gives us faith in the truth so that we may believe and have a new saving relationship with God. And that relationship is a growing thing so that we understand how to live and bless others with truth and with love. Henry VIII, England's Reformation era king, wanted a son so that England would have stable rule. He divorced his first wife of 20 years because she had borne him 7 stillborn sons and a daughter. Anne Boleyn persuaded Henry to marry her, partly by promising him a son, but her first pregnancy ended in another stillborn son, and her second pregnancy, which was greeted by the king with great excitement, but the infant came out a girl, the future Queen Elizabeth. And Henry turned away from the child, not seeing the healthy child that Anne had given him, but the failure. He turned his interest to others, and true to the pattern, found reasons to divorce and behead this second wife in less than 3 years of marriage. Henry loved his wives the way I like coffee. A pleasant experience now and again, but to be thrown away when old or cold. His lovelessness blinded him to the truth that his daughter Elizabeth would be one of the greatest monarchs ever to serve England. Do you love God the way Henry loved his wives? Many of us do. As long as church is entertaining, as long as God guarantees us good fortune or good luck, we will go through the motions. And some churches actually encourage this because they are afraid to speak the truth, or they are unable to speak that truth in love. They foster the expectation that those who follow God will find, if not riches and wealth, at least relationships and health. But that is not what God has promised. Now, true, there are rewards for those who live right by not smoking, avoiding drunkenness, refraining from theft, just to name a few. But those are side benefits, the temporal blessings that pale in comparison with what unmeasurable blessing God has for those who love Him in the highest sense of the word, who realize that the kingdom of God is worth all we have to give and so much more. And because God loves you, He wants you to center your life on the truth, that you rejoice every day in the good things God has prepared for you in heaven, that you pay attention to the things that will bless others rather than to those things that irritate yourself, that you acknowledge His blessing in the past and the present, that you may be joyful and easier to get along with in the present, and that you may believe the promises of the future as the Spirit builds us up in Christ in love. May the Spirit of truth bless you with God's priceless gift of divine love, now and forever. Amen. And may that peace of God that surpasses our understanding keep your hearts and minds in this true faith to life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Then go to sleep at once and in good cheer.
Elizabeth Baran Bouladian believes that our mothers live in our hearts whether they are dead or alive. She wrote a book of poetry entitled Pages from the Heart. It is a poignant journal of love and war. Unintendingly, the mother emerges as the heroine here, who cares for her family in the war and in peacetime, as expressed in the poems The Red Sweater and The Book and the Sewing Machine. The mother whose character forms a pattern for her daughter's own life. Sadly, the daughter, as a refugee of war, must finally face the cold horror of separation from her beloved mother, as expressed in Night Sky Flyer. In Pages from the Heart, Bouladian opens her life and her heart through a group of narrative poems that read like autobiographical short stories, compressed into poetic form. In them, the innocence of life, as seen through a child's eyes, expressed in A Conversation with My Mother, Parts 1 and 2, and The First Christmas at School. This is juxtaposed against the pain and complexity of a war-scarred journey into adulthood. Through pain, guilt, and uneasy humor, as expressed in the poems Labels and A Night in the Bomb Shelter, the author allows us glimpses into life in turmoil. The cruelty of war and of men is unbearable, leading to depression, spiritual death, and loss of fate that lasts for decades, as expressed in the poems Eternal Poison and The Sahara of the Soul. Love and the human spirit do triumph through all of the pain. This is expressed in the poem, The Color of the Tide. And let it take its course. And honey's honey. These show a gradual reawakening of the heart that leads to marital love and to renewed faith in Christ, as expressed in the poem Disappointments. These poems grow with each reading. Pages from the Heart is a book to be kept and read many times over. You can get a copy of Pages from the Heart by writing a message using Facebook Messenger or the WhatsApp application. Look for Elizabeth Baran Buladian with a photo of the book on her side. Call or text cell phone number 313-727-3095. That's Elizabeth Baran Buladian's Pages from the Heart.